Hello, we have Port Hardy on the line here.
How are lives?
Hello, everyone. We're just going to go and we're going to introduce ourselves. I think you can probably all see us. We're here at Family Central. This is about a quarter of our team. And so we're really excited about spending the next hour and a bit with you. Before we go too far in, we just want to acknowledge with gratitude that our place of work is on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territories of Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations.
Hi, it's Fort St. John Hospital here. We seem to be having some audio issues.
Is there an echo out?
Audio, yeah. Here we are.
Here we go.
Can you hear us?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. We can hear you.
So it's important that everyone's on mute.
Great. So what we'll do is we'll just go quickly with a roll call after we introduce ourselves very quickly here in Vancouver. So we're in downtown Vancouver, just a few blocks away from the C bus terminal. So we're just right in downtown, and just have folks from different areas of Foundry Central Office. So we'll just quickly introduce ourselves. And then we'll go around the table and do a roll call of folks on the call. So I'm Steve Mathias. I'm a child psychiatrist and executive director of the Foundry Central team. And really excited to meet you all today. To my right.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nancy Zhao, and I am the Youth Peer Engagement Coordinator here at Foundry Central.
Hi, I'm Skye Barbic. I am the research lead at FCO.
Hi, I'm Krista Gritty. I'm the Director of Community Development here at the FCO.
Hi, I'm Sarah Lally. I'm Project Assistant here at FCO.
Hi, my name is Pamela Fennell, and I support communities with onboarding.
And hi, it's Andrew Tuggle here. I'm with BC Children's Hospital, and I'm the Director of Health Promotion and Health Literacy.
Hi, everyone. My name is Rebecca Sharma, and I'm the Lead for Philanthropy and Development.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tamara Throssell, and I support the family work here at FCO.
Rebecca Sharma is also the person leading the convening process here. And so she'll be joining me in my presentation a little bit later today with further details about convening. So just wanted to go around the table. So if you can hear us name you, we'll name you by community. If you could take yourselves off mute, because I imagine most of you are on mute at this point, take yourself off mute, and then if you could just introduce yourselves and what agencies you represent. For the 19 different communities, this will probably be the first time that folks are introduced to each other. So we'll just start with Burnaby. Burnaby, would you are you on the call? Someone's taken themselves off mute. Is that Burnaby?
Oh, unmute.
You can tell everyone we're going in alphabetical order.
Okay, we'll move down. We're moving through alphabetical order. So Burns Lake.
Okay, hello. That's probably me, Travis Hollick with Kearsa County Family Services. Sorry, I just joined.
Wonderful. Welcome. Comox Valley. Okay, hi. I just got a notice from Burnaby that from Don Embry that you're on the line. Fantastic. From the Lower Mainland Purpose Society. Couchin Valley, are you on the line?
Couchin Valley is here.
Wonderful. And who's on the call?
I have myself, Michelle Bell, the executive director, team lead Sophia Palmer, and team lead Myla Smith.
Wonderful. Thank you. Cranbrook and Kimberly.
Hi, this is the team from Cranbrook Kimberly, Tanaha Kimbaska Child and Family. I have myself, Josie Kale, proposal writer. I have Rebecca White, our mental health team lead, and Haley Porter, one of our support workers.
Fantastic. Welcome.
Hi.
Folks in Fort St. James. Okay, we
hello?
Can come. Yes, hi.
Okay, hello. So this would be from Fort St. James. And my name is Jenna Hess, and I am a proposal writer, also working with Nakaz Libertan. And with me, I have Jessica, Eric, and Michelle Alexander, who are strong community interest individuals.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you. Fort St. John.
Hi, everybody. It's Anita Lee. I'm the executive director at the Fort St. John Friendship Society, and I'm with Vanessa Lalonde and Martha Funk. Hi. And we have some other colleagues from the that dialed in at the Fort St. John Hospital as well. And
yeah, thank you. It's Joanne Kozak. I'm with Northern Health. And I'm with Donna Ward, who's also with Northern Health, and Angela DeSmit, who's also with Northern Health.
Wonderful. Well, welcome, Fort St. John. Moving to Hope. Are you on the call?
Hi, yes, I'm here. It's Bonnie Millward from Hope and Area Transition Society. I am part of the leadership team here.
Hi there.
Hi.
Wonderful. Okay, Kamloops.
Yeah, we're here. It's Val Jans and Kelly Kellen from Interior Community Services, and there may be someone from the hospital on there too. I'm not sure. She's called in.
Hi, everybody. It's Tara Marchuski, and I'm the manager for mental health and substance use in Kamloops for Interior Health.
Hi, Val, Kelly, and Tara. Welcome.
Thank you.
Anyone from Langley? Okay, just using the chat due to the number of partners we have around the table. Okay, fantastic. Nice to hear from you, Encompass. Okanagan North, Vernon.
Hi, it's Julia here from Canadian Mental Health Association, Vernon and District from Okanagan North.
Hello, welcome. North Surrey.
Hi, it's Michelle Shaw here with PCRS. And I have two of our youth services managers and our manager of substance use with us here.
Hey, and you are a very good looking plant.
I know, right? I didn't do my hair, sorry.
Okay, welcome, North Surrey. Port Hardy.
Hi, we're here. I'm Chris Parker. From the North Island Crisis and Counseling Center Society, and I've got a bunch of people sitting at the table with me, and I'll quickly let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Christine Swain. I work for Island Health with Discovery Youth and Family Substance Use Services.
I'm Angela Smith. I'm the coordinator for the Mount Waddington Help Network.
Hi, Pat Corbett-Labatt with the District of Port Hardy, and as well the Health Network Chair.
And Hori,
Board Chair of North Island Crisis Center.
Thank you for having us today.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Port Hardy. Welcome. Powell River.
Hi there, it's Heather Gordon here. I'm the Executive Director of Powell River Child Youth and Family Services Society. And I've got our board chair, Ian Fleming, here. And we're not on the video call. We couldn't get the technology working. But we're here in spirit and on the phone. So thanks for having us.
Welcome. Great to hear you. Squamish. Okay, well, we'll come back to Squamish. Surrey Cloverdale.
Hi, it's Howard Shine here, Executive Director of Child, Family, and Counseling Services with Sources. I believe a couple of my other colleagues, in fact, I see one, is also on this call, but we're all in different places.
Okay, great. Well, welcome, Howard, and welcome, Surrey. Sunshine Coast.
Sunshine Coast Community Services, and I think there are some other people on the call from here as well.
Yes.
Jay Russell from Sunshine Coast. I think your Microsoft Outlook is looking pretty good.
That's on fire. Can you hear us?
Yeah, let's try Tri-Cities.
No, we're just adding Kathy and Coast Community Services, and then Ryan and David.
Hang on. You shared the screen down below. You can't.
No, she didn't. I didn't.
Tri-Cities.
Hi, it's Claire McLean, the CEO of Share Society, and I have Jody Wickens and James Musgrave with me as well. And also on the line, we have Rob Zambrano, our Assistant Superintendent for School District 43.
Fantastic. Okay, wonderful. Tri-Cities. Williams Lake. Anyone from Williams Lake? Okay, so just going back, Comox Valley, are you on the call? Welcome and Happy New Year. Squamish? Okay, and Williams Lake.
Hi, Williams Lake is here. We're just having some problems with our internet. It's Vanessa from the Child Development Center in Williams Lake. Jessica and Shandy will be here shortly.
Okay, wonderful. Is that Tracy?
No, it's Vanessa.
Okay, hi, Vanessa. All right. Okay, then. So we welcome everyone and Happy New Year. Our presentation, our slideshow presentation or PowerPoint presentation should take about 30 minutes to go through, maybe just a little bit longer, and then we should have opportunity for some questions. We'll also have a question and answer session next week around this time, I believe. Sal, is that right? This time next week?
Yeah.
Great. So without further ado, we'll just get started here, and hopefully everyone can hear us okay. If you can't hear us, let us know.
Or just can they see the slide?
Right, I'm just checking in. Can everyone see the slide? Maybe a couple people can just let us know if you can see the slide deck.
Blaine's like can see the slide.
Fantastic, okay. Super. And obviously, if you can't see the slide because you're calling in for any reason, then we will certainly forward a slide deck to you. So welcome to convening. The agenda for today is quite straightforward, actually. We're going to be providing a quick overview of Foundry, although most of you are quite familiar with Foundry. We'll just give you a little bit of background. We'll then talk about the steps and the lifting and opening a Foundry center.
Okay, you know what?
And then I think if everyone could put themselves on mute, that would be great. And then we'll then finish off with convening phase the next 3 months, just to give everyone a sense of what is happening. And obviously the package for convening has gone out. And so there may be some questions that have started to emerge from that, although we anticipate many more questions next week during our Q&A. So congratulations, everyone. You've made it through the expression of interest gauntlet. It was certainly As we all know, and some of you who have been through it before, it's a bit of a rite of passage, but it does give us an incredible amount of information. We had 40 incredible submissions, 4-0, from communities around the province, and the decision-making was very challenging. We had two panels made up of youth and family members and other subject matter experts, and then we also had a reference group made up of folks from the health authorities and MCFD. And we took those expressions of interest, we distributed them, and for the better part of about 3 or 4 days, those panels really poured over those submissions and made the very difficult recommendations that they made. But certainly we're very pleased to see the 19 communities that have moved on from the expression of interest process. Just move forward here. As everyone understands probably by now, in our very brief overview, is that our vision is really to transform access to health and social services for youth and families. This is not upscaling a service. We're not just upscaling a mental health service. We're really seeing ourselves as upscaling a system. And we aim to improve qualities such as availability, acceptability, and equitability by creating a network of youth-friendly single points of access. But in so doing, we really understand that in some communities, that this is reshaping the way organizations and services work together. And that's something that's been really encouraging to see in our first 3 years, is to just understand that Foundry is doing more than just opening doors to a brightly colored center, but really that we're seeing some changes that are welcomed by the community in terms of organizations working together, partnering together, and young people and their families really experiencing seamless support and care. Foundry really emerged from a prototype that was opened in 2015, and that was the Vancouver Granville Health Center. When we opened that in downtown Vancouver, we made a ton of mistakes. We missed out on a lot of partnership opportunities, and we attempted to learn from those lessons as we moved forward with our first phase of sites, our first centers that went into Campbell River, North Vancouver, or the North Shore. Abbotsford, Kelowna, and Prince George really benefited from all the mistakes made in that first prototype. And I think similarly, our second phase, which we will, I think, hopefully complete by end of next year, is really benefiting from all the challenges and obstacles that we experienced in opening up that first phase of sites. When we opened the first Vancouver Granville site, we recognized in meeting young people that a lot of them had familiar stories. They were on the radar of the inner city services in downtown Vancouver, but 60% of the young people we were seeing were coming from other parts of the province, and they all had very similar stories of falling through the cracks, attempting to get help, struggling to get help. It was a recurring theme and made us really wonder whether or not maybe we could do something that was more provincial to prevent so many young people from coming into the downtown core to access services, but also to access substances in Vancouver. Our brand was something that was quite unique. At that point in time, as I think most of you are aware, and as probably continues to be in your communities, brands really are recognized by young people and their families as being associated with a certain organization. What we wanted to do is create a brand for the team that would be working with young people, recognizing that sometimes 10, 15, 20 organizations might be represented by the Foundry brand. And so we really worked with young people and families for almost 8 months to develop a brand after launching a national survey to understand what youth needed or were looking for. We learned really quickly that they wanted to come to a place that had multiple services, including mental health, but that wasn't limited by mental health. And that this concept of really every door being the right door was one that in some ways had failed young people, and that they were looking for one door that they could walk through to access the services that they needed. We engage young people, parents, and caregivers to promote collaborative and respectful involvement in the creation of the brand. We had broad representation, including young people who self-identified as Indigenous and from various cultures. And really what that was really clear was that young people didn't want to see any mention of mental health or health or head in the name of the service. And I think we all laugh now because at the time when the brand came to us in this first iteration, we all really rejected the word foundry. None of us really liked it, which was probably an indication that young people probably would love it. And so we threw it back into the water, and then it came back again to us. And as we started to test it out with young people, we realized that it was something that they really liked and that they felt that it was a brand that they could own. And so we began to embrace the brand. And I think that our experience is that it's one that has really taken off. So between 2016 and 19, we've built 8 centers in BC, and by early 2020, we will have 2 in each health authority. We have currently 11 communities that have been selected. We have communities in Victoria and Campbell River that have sites that are open. Victoria is one of our busiest centers, and they see about 100 new young people a month. Campbell River, on the other hand, has been open the longest and have really been one of our flagship centers, leading the charge in really innovative work and are very well established within the community of Campbell River. In the Lower Mainland, we have the North Shore in Vancouver, Granville. Richmond is a community that has been looking for a couple of years now for a landing spot for their center. Ridge Meadows will be opening in next month, actually, in late January, early February. Abbotsford is our largest center. They cover 2 floors and have moved a lot of their youth services from Fraser Health into the center. Penticton and Kelowna. Penticton is our more recent opener. They opened in the summer of 2019. And then we have Prince George, which opened in our first round, and Terrace, which will be opening a temporary site in the next couple months. Our goal really is to establish a center in every corner of British Columbia. And our stated intention is that someday 95% of young people will be within a 30-minute drive of a foundry center in the province. Just checking in, which slide do you have in front of you at this moment?
We have the one that says our foundry centers have similar brand elements.
Okay. Number 8. Okay. Great. Our foundry centers have similar brand elements, as most of you are aware. This is a design process that has been ongoing. We bring in a design company to work with the local community. We go through a co-design process with young people and their families. We recognize, obviously, that we can't really do foundry in a box. Each community has different spaces to work with. Some are 4,500 or 5,000 square feet. In the case of Abbotsford, it's 12,000 square feet. But we really make a custom design for each community, working with young people and their families, so that it's a model that works. And our experience has been that these centers really do reflect what the young people were looking for when they opened. BoundaryBC.ca is a partnership with BC Children's Hospital. As you're probably aware, it was the old MindCheck website that was rebranded FoundaryBC a couple of years ago in partnership with BC Children's Hospital. Since then, we've really worked at developing content that would be attractive to teenagers and young adults. We started with a stories project, which was really hope-filled stories by young people with lived experience. And then we've added self-help tools and guidance tools that young people are using to help them identify services. We also know that potentially one of our largest groups accessing this service right now are parents. The feedback certainly has been that there tend to be a lot of parents using this website. In 2020, we anticipate launching a virtual clinic. We will start with piloting virtual care in several of our existing communities and hope that within a couple of years, we're able to expand it provincially so that young people around the province are able to access those services.
Show me to get Rob.
Our Foundry centers offer 5 core services. And those 5 core services were determined by working with young people. The 5 core services are physical health, mental health, peer support, and social services, as well as substance use support. The physical health is provided typically by a primary care provider, like a family doctor or nurse practitioner. It's fair to say, and you'll see this in a data slide in a few minutes, that physical health supports is something that is sought a lot more frequently than we first anticipated. Peer support is a service that we have developed with the Canadian Mental Health Association. And this is a service that is now provided by young people working with young people. And is one that is increasingly popular as young people come into each center. We also provide a set standardized integrated step care model for mental health, for mood and anxiety. And substance use services are also standardized around our sites. Finally, our social services and our social service partners are the services that are invited into the centers to support the young people that come through. So those might include employment services, they may include financial services and financial literacy services, housing supports, but really those social services are often organizations that have been in the community for a long time and provide the look and feel of the community. We're governed by a governing council that advocates for us and also advises us on strategic government relations and ministerial work. We have policy-making ministries that include the Ministry of Health, Mental Health and Addictions, and Children and Family Development. We also have our legacy partners, which includes the St. Paul's Hospital Foundation, the Graham Beck Foundation, the Michael Smith Foundation, all organizations that have given generously to us when we first got Foundry off the ground. And Providence Healthcare is where we're located. And so we're hosted by Providence Healthcare, which is a large organization that sits within Vancouver Coastal Health. And that has a budget of just under $1 billion, provides tertiary services in key areas such as cardiac disease and renal disease. And we'll be developing a state-of-the-art hospital in downtown Vancouver in the next 6 to 7 years. As I mentioned earlier, Foundry really is predicated on the idea that partners come together, community organizations come together to provide the services. While we do provide operational budgets to bolster the services on the ground, what we recognize is that in each of these communities, there's a tremendous amount of service delivery already happening. And a key part of what we do is to identify those partners and bring them in to the Foundry umbrella so that they can all be located or co-located in the center when it opens its doors. And so we're quite proud of the partnerships that we have with over 140 partners in British Columbia. And that group is obviously growing as we continue to open new centers. So the Foundry Central Office is really the bridge that bridges the gap between the lead organizations or lead agencies in each of the communities, the local health authority, and government. And so what we know is that over the years, there have been lots of documents and policy documents created in government. And those policy documents, unfortunately, have failed to lead to the transformation that I think a lot of us wanted or needed in child, youth, mental health. And so the Foundry Central Office, the team that is located here, but also has folks located in different parts of the province, work really hard with the lead organizations, the health authorities, and government policymakers to really identify what the key obstacles are to creating Foundry Centers in the communities around the province. And so here at Foundry Central, we have dedicated staff who are involved in leading and supporting youth and family engagement, clinical operations and planning, community and government relations, service development and implementation, knowledge exchange and mobilization, project management and site development, policy development, branding and communications, research and evaluation. So our goal really isn't to provide Foundry in a box, rather it's to provide community-led initiatives that have access to tools and lessons learned from 8 successful launches so that the communities that we work with can create spaces that reflect their communities and state-of-the-art information. So, if you're on this call, then you are likely one of our potential lead agencies. And lead agencies, the way our model works is that lead agencies are contracted to provide the operational leadership for the Foundry Center and services in the different communities. So the roles and responsibilities for the lead agencies includes capital project development, fundraising, partnership development, youth and family engagement, center operations, service delivery, provincial knowledge exchange network membership, and evaluation implementation. And so this is an expectation when the contract is completed with the lead agencies. Currently, that contract is between the lead agency, the health authority, and Foundry. It's a tripartite agreement. But when that is completed, there's an understanding that the lead agencies will be leading these various areas of the Foundry build. We understood very early on that electronic medical records were too challenging to integrate fully into one system. In fact, we heard really clearly that we weren't going to get 140 partners all on one system. But what we did understand was that we could collect data from using one platform. And so that platform is called Toolbox, and it's our custom-built data collection system that's designed to show that our services are making a difference. It's a tablet-based model that young people and family members use when they're first introduced to Foundry Centers. And it allows clinicians in real time to understand what is going on for the young person. And it also allows us to evaluate young people are struggling with, but also to understand outcomes of our work. So our team supports the implementation of Toolbox, and each center has these data collection tools in their their lobby or their walk-in area, as well as in their clinical staging areas. So Foundry Centers have seen over 13,000 young people. We just pulled this data in the last few days, so it was really exciting to see us well over the 13,000 mark. This is dating back to between May 2018 and December 2019. 13,000 unique youth with over 51,000 visits and 70,000 services accessed. So as you can see, sometimes young people will come in and access more than one service at the same time. Mental health and substance use services are still being collected as one group, and they represent about a third of visits. But when you combine sexual health visits and physical health visits, that grouping is well above the mental health and substance use service delivery. And so there's a huge demand for young people to see primary care providers, as mentioned, family doctors and nurse practitioners. Our walk-in counseling service, which is something we're quite proud of, was a service that for the most part didn't exist in the communities where we were working. And we now see it as being one of our most popular services, the ability of a young person to get help when they need it, typically same day for a one session brief intervention. And it's something that we provide training for the staff of all the Foundry Centers who may be providing this service. And again, our understanding is that it's a much needed gap filler. We also have social services and youth peer support that we're collecting information on. And groups is something that we're just starting to collect data on. And so we expect that 3.5% to actually increase significantly. This is a group of young people that 3 years ago, we weren't really capturing. We weren't really understanding what services they were accessing, how often they were coming in, and now we're able to do that. We've evaluated Foundry as we've gotten it off the ground in a very unique way. Developmental evaluation was a concept that was introduced to us very early on. And it's really an evaluative approach that supports dynamic, complex, and innovative interventions with the capacity for real-time decision-making and course correction. And so since 2016, we've had a developmental evaluator working with us, attending meetings, taking notes, sitting down and interviewing service providers, young people, family members in the various communities where we're working, and really collecting information and data on what is happening on the ground. It's very qualitative, but it has allowed us to understand the intentional integration that we're trying to do here. We've understood, I think, that stakeholders at all levels have recognized the need for effective collaboration. The developmental evaluation has allowed us to understand that what we're doing right now really is dismantling service and system silos and allowing folks to navigate and utilize existing community resources. So it's quite important that this work continues. And as part of joining the Foundry family, developmental evaluation and evaluation of the work we do is part and parcel of membership. Our expansion was included in the Ministry of Mental Health and Addictions, A Pathway to Hope, strategic plan, which was really exciting. We were announced for 11 sites before we were really written into policy. But the Pathway to Hope, and I'll be really clear about this because I think it's important for everyone to hear, is that, you know, it provides a roadmap for the province over the next 10 years. The Pathway to Hope identifies funding in a three-year block, but really the intention of the roadmap is that Foundry should be located in communities around British Columbia. And so while this go around, we're selecting six communities with the funding that we have. The intention really is that all the communities on this call will eventually have a Foundry. It may be in the next couple of years, or it may take a little bit longer, but we do hope and believe that this will happen based on the document that was put out by the Ministry of Mental Health and Addictions. I'll just take a quick break here and check in with my team before moving on to the next section on opening a Foundry Center. I have to say that this is the process of opening a Foundry Center is probably a lot harder than we thought it would be. When we first did this in 2015 with the Granville Center, the number of decisions that we had to make and the amount of work that went into intentionally building and purpose building a space really surprised us. And I remember thinking back in 2014 as we were going through this process that, boy, it would be nice if we would have had a guide on how to do this, and certainly thought if anybody was going to do this again, they probably could learn from our lessons. And really that's been our intention of putting Foundry together, Foundry Central together, is to support communities to do this in a far more rapid iteration than say our first five centers. But recognizing that no matter what we do, this still ends up being a three-year process. The selection and engagement process, we believe, is one of the most important things that we do, making sure that we're identifying communities that really have not only identified this need, but have identified the spirit of what we're trying to do. That is trying to get community partners to work together to provide those services. We also believe strongly that there needs to be a protracted engagement period with young families, young people and their families in the communities where these centers are going in. We also believe in good governance and the importance of setting up those governance structures early on. Again, lessons learned for us, recognizing that when we haven't focused on governance early on, we really pay the price later. Moving from selection and engagement, that co-design process, which is always so exciting, sometimes can take a while if there isn't a space available. And that has been the case in a couple of our communities where space has taken time to identify. But we've wanted to make sure that we do it right, understanding that once a center opens, it will likely provide services for 10 to 20 years. And so this isn't a temporary site for the most part. So we really want to make sure that we spend the time designing and developing these centers. Then in the lead up to opening and the early operations, there's a flurry of activity around training and also getting folks to understand an integrated step care model where different interventions are offered at different levels of need. And so that, again, is something that's relatively new for clinicians on the ground, and it does allow for seamless transitions as young people are stepped up in their needs or in the amount of service that they require. And finally, as we move from opening and early operations to a full fidelity and integrated center, there is a lot of troubleshooting that's required. At times, we have to restart certain training. Obviously, there's turnover in staff. So we continue to train folks as new people come on board. And that allows us for service innovation as well as ongoing evaluation and really some exciting research initiatives that you'll learn about as we move forward. And so this is, I think, a slightly different relationship than people are used to. We really aren't the typical funder. We are a partner, and we will continue this journey alongside our communities for the foreseeable future as we implement the Ministry of Mental Health and Addictions strategic plan. Building a Foundry Center, as I've alluded to, is really just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more to transformation than meets the eye. It's not just a coat of paint with some really nice brand elements. It's built on three essential components: the facility and infrastructure, which really helps with the work. Having a strong functional program is so critical. But there's also that key component around operations and the leadership group that puts the operational working group together is really important. And obviously the individuals, folks like yourselves, but also your partners, youth and family, will bring Foundry alive in your local community. And that's something certainly we've learned in time, is that folks view the Foundry Center as their Foundry. And they take a great deal of pride in having Foundry in their local community. So successful project outcomes really involve transformation and readiness of all three components together. So you're probably curious to know how long this will take, and this gives you a bit of a sense. The onboarding and fidelity process, the planning operationalization, which involves partnership engagement, really looking at capital project planning and fundraising, in some cases can take up to 2 years. And we've got one community right now, Richmond, that is 2 years and counting because of their challenges in finding a space. Others communities have done it in less than 12 months. And so it really depends on the community readiness and what is the availability of a space. We then, in the lead up to opening, spent quite a bit of time training and preparing for that opening and working with all the partners that are going to be there. And then go through what I would say is probably a 6 month stabilization phase before really getting into the optimization and getting into integrated step care and full integration, which would then lead to quality improvement. We recognize, and I think this is something that everyone needs to understand, is that when you open your doors in the first month, you see a certain severity of presentation, young people coming in who haven't been seeking help, a lot of unmet need, and it can be quite overwhelming in those few months, but we do as best we can to prepare sites as they go through that process so that they're ready. And then within about a year or year and a half, there begins to have a rhythm, and certainly the centers become increasingly integrated with the communities that they find themselves in. So it's a really exciting time, but it's a lot of hard work. And it's certainly something that we are under no illusions when we work with organizations to let them know ahead of time that this is something that requires dedicated staff and a dedicated focus when they undertake this project. So I'm going to hand this off to Rebecca Sharma, as she's going to lead you through what the convening phase is. It is the next 3 months, so between now and March, there'll be a pretty intense period of time in terms of working with us, but hopefully it will prove worthwhile for all of you. Rebecca.
Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. I am beyond thrilled to be talking with you all today, as it represents the culmination of several months of hard work on your part through the EOI process, and I'm excited to share a little bit more information with you about the convening phase and what the next 3 months are going to look like. As you'll see on this next slide here, we have essentially there's four objectives with this phase in particular. The first of which is about building relationships. And when we did the developmental evaluation of Foundry's proof of concept phase, we found that Foundry is really all about relationships. So it's those relationships that are in the community and across the network of Foundry centers that have made Foundry successful so far. And our hope is that with this convening phase, we're going to help to foster relationship building and networking between yourselves, the different communities that are participating in convening, with us here at Foundry Central Office, and also creating opportunities for you to connect in with our network leadership, with our young people, with our families, those who have been involved from the beginning and have so much knowledge to share with you outside of Central Office here. The second objective is really helping you to understand what Foundry is and also what Foundry isn't. So we heard really strongly from members of our existing network of centers that any kind of new organization or community that's coming on and developing a Foundry center, they need to know as much information as possible prior to the development and the establishment of operations of a Foundry Center. We want to do that because we want to ensure that we're setting realistic expectations about what we are and what we're not. And as an example of the kind of information that we'll be sharing, you know, thinking about what Foundry isn't, Steve mentioned we're not just a funder, and that's certainly true. We want to work with you closely to support you in your community development efforts and the establishment of your center. We're also not
tokenistic. So really looking at meaningful engagement with young people and families and partners in your community, and not as sort of a tokenistic exercise. And I suspect that that probably came through in our EOI phase as well. Another example of what we aren't, because that's kind of fun to talk about what we aren't, is we're not a franchise. So we're not out of the box bringing a foundry to your community. It's really, the center is developed and it's born out of the needs of the young people, the family members, the community needs, and the strengths that are brought forward from the lead agency and your partners. We're also going to provide you with information about how you can best move forward with convening, and also how you can best develop partnerships in your communities. And it'll be an opportunity for us to learn more about the unique strengths and the needs of your community and your organization and the incredible work that you're already doing. And finally, we want to ensure that your questions are answered as they come up through this process. The third objective for convening is building provincial momentum. And so this is, as Steve mentioned, this is a phase of expansion where we're going to identify six centers with the funding that we have currently. But again, the hope and the vision is that all of the communities that are on this call today will end up with a foundry center in your community. So we're looking at subsequent phases of expansion down the road. So this is the beginning of and continuation of a momentum across the province. And the last objective for convening is really about establishing readiness of the communities that will be bringing a foundry center in. And so this is where we help determine what the viability of your organization and the partners to lead your community in the development of a foundry center and to help ascertain the fit with the vision and the mission of Foundry. So as you saw in your information package, over the next 3 months, there are going to be some kind of key milestones that we will be working towards. One of them, of course, is the written application and the partners' letters of support, and that will be due on February 20th. So you'll have received on Friday, last Friday, the template for this written application. It's also saved on our website on the web link that we sent to you on Friday. And if you're having difficulties with the link, please do let us know and we can resend that to you. Topics that will be explored in the written application are leadership, your budgeting, details of existing services, your engagement practices, cultural safety, inclusivity, and practices around diversity in your community, and other technical components as well. We'll also be looking for some documentation to support your submission. So that'll include copies of your audited financial statements where available, a copy of your certificate of incorporation for those organizations that are incorporated, an org chart or a depiction of your organization's organizational and governance structures, and then of course the letters of support from the agencies that you're both currently partnering with and hope to partner with down the road. The next piece will be a phone interview with your executive director and your board chair. And thank you so much to all of you who've provided your availability for those phone interviews. The purpose of these calls will be to explore follow-up questions that came from our EOI evaluation panels as they were going through. There are some follow-up questions, so we'll bring those forward. Also to understand your commitment and your capacity to take on a Foundry Center and an understanding of how you're working with youth and families in your community. And so these interviews will be done either by conference call or video conference, depending on what works best for you. And there'll likely be about 4 panel members on our end who will be interviewing. So there'll be somebody from Foundry Central office, a young person from our provincial advisory group, a family member from our provincial family ambassador group, and a leader from one of our 8 open Foundry Centers. And we expect that the interviews will be about an hour and a half long. And we'll talk about next steps for that in a little bit.
Another piece will be the letters of commitment from our health authorities, MCFD, FNHA, and others. And those are letters of commitment that, given our provincial relationships with those bodies, will be securing on your behalf. So you won't have to worry about those letters. And then, of course, the days that we're all really looking forward to will be a two-day in-person knowledge exchange with all of you on March 2nd and 3rd. And this is what we hope will help to foster the building of relationships between yourselves, with our network, and with us. Following that two-day in-person session, we'll have a final evaluation, which will be based on the results of your EOI, the written submission, and our learnings through the in-person session and interviews, which will lead to a decision around the six keys moving forward to develop the center by mid-March. So as I said, you'll see it's a tight timeline that we'll be doing all of that activity, but we hope it'll feel manageable and that you'll feel supported as you go through that. So information session is taking place right now. Next Tuesday from 3 to 4:30 Pacific time, we'll have a Q&A session with you to answer any of your immediate questions. Phone interviews between the 20th of January and the 14th of Feb. Written submission due on the 20th, in person March 2nd and 3rd, and our final evaluations and the announcement of communities by mid-March. And you may be wondering sort of how we'll be making that decision. So as I mentioned, the key components to our evaluation to make that decision will include the results of our EOI phase. It'll culminate together with the outcomes of the interview, your written submission, the letters of support, and of course, our in-person convening session. So our next
steps. We appreciate your patience while we work to get to your call. Please remain on the line and we'll return to assist you in just.
We're aware that you're on the line and are working to get your
call. It sounds like somebody just needs to put their phone on mute.
Thank you for your patience. We strive to provide quality service to every one of our callers. We want you to know that your call is important to us, and an associate will be with you shortly.
We are working to keep your hold time to a
minimum. Hi, folks. Not sure if you could hear us, because right now we're hearing someone who's on hold. Does anyone hear? We just need someone to confirm that they can hear the presentation.
We can hear the presentation.
I can hear the presentation.
The music.
Yeah. And you can't? Can you hear the music as well?
Oh yeah.
Yes, we can hear the music. Well,
yeah.
Okay, everyone.
Very loud.
Could everyone just mute?
It's quite overpowering.
This is.
While holding, we're aware that you're on the line and are working to get to your call as quickly as possible.
Folks, I think what we have is probably someone who's put their phone on hold. And so what we'll do is, if we can, because we'd like to move to a question and answer session here, we've got half an hour for that.
Oh, it stopped, Steve.
Okay, it stopped. That's great.
So, oh my gosh.
It's always the... It's always the issue when we have 20 different folks calling in, and so that's great. So I think that effectively ends our formal presentation on right on cue. And what we'll do now is go around and see if folks have any questions from what we've raised already. As we've said, you've likely had the package in your inbox this week. And so if we can start to field some questions, that would be wonderful. And so we're probably best to just go down as a roll call. So we can go from community to community and just invite you to ask any questions that you might have. So we'll maybe start in alphabetical order again. We'll go down for the list. Robert, are you able to bring up the view of everyone who's on the call, given that the presentation is at an end there? Great.
So you want the presentation?
Yeah, if we could just close the presentation up, that'd be great. Maybe what we can do then is start with Burnaby. Burnaby and Lower Mainland Purpose Society. Anyone there who has any questions around the process this time around?
Oh, there's chats. Yeah.
Okay. Burns Lake.
No questions.
Hello, Travis here. Just a simple question. I hadn't yet set up the interview, and I was wondering if that, like when it says the executive director and the board chair, if that was two separate interviews or one together.
Thanks for that question. So it'll be one interview with both present for that interview.
All right, thanks.
Is that Travis?
Yes.
Travis, what do you have on those pictures behind you?
That's just golf art.
That's what I was wondering.
I'm wondering what holes those were.
Okay. Comox Valley.
Hi there, it's Angie. I don't have any questions right now. Thanks, though.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Cowichan Valley.
Yeah, I actually have a quick question. I noticed in some of the literature that we didn't require a letter from the health authority or MCFD. And then I noticed on your slide that there was a letter required. I'm just curious, should we be getting letters from them or you're phoning and talking to them?
Yeah, that's right. So we will be approaching MCFD and the health authorities for letters of commitment. So you will not need to request that. What you'll be looking for are letters of support from your partners.
Okay, great. Thank you. There's one more letter here from one of my team members. Is there an opportunity for in-person meetings to get a feel for our agency?
So I think our hope is that the in-person convening on March 2nd and 3rd will provide an opportunity for us to do just that. So I think at this point in time, that's the plan, is that the in-person component will be here in Vancouver on the 2nd and 3rd. Is there anything
okay,
else?
Okay, thank you. Nope, that was good. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. Cranbrook and Kimberly.
Hello. We have a question. Thank you for letting us ask it. I'm just gonna... We had someone join us, so she's just coming in screen so she can ask her question. Thank you.
So hi, I'm a community pediatrician, and I want to be involved in this project, but I see that a lot of the services are not really in my scope, and I just wondered if you could talk a little bit about how you see the role of specialists, pediatricians, child psychiatrists, and people who work with adolescents, and how that even works with the Foundry organization and model.
Great. So sorry, did you say you're a pediatrician?
Yeah, a general pediatrician, yeah.
General pediatrician, yeah. General pediatricians, psychiatrists, any specialty is really welcome to work within the model. It's really intended to serve young people the way you might be serving them currently, but in a space where you actually have access then to a team environment. And so
we are more than happy to have folks join us. Every center has physical exam rooms, interview rooms, and so a pediatrician would definitely have a space and a medical office assistant to support them.
Okay, awesome. And do you have like anybody we can get in touch with or like that have already had this kind of working for them and how it's sort of what it looks so like, how often they're needed?
We certainly have psychiatrists at almost every one of our centers. And we certainly have primary care providers, family doctors at every one of our centers. We don't have a pediatrician yet, but we understand that there's a couple communities where that may be happening.
Yeah, because basically in our community, we sort of play that role a little bit. We have an outreach psychiatrist only once every 2 months. And so we really reserve him for the most kind of significant cases. And so, yeah, it would be great to kind of just see what that would look like. But it sounds like it's definitely an option. So that's great.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And more than happy to have that conversation, once this process rolls itself out.
Thanks. We have one more question.
Hi. And just to repeat back what I heard from a question earlier, my understanding is the letters of support we get from our community partners and the letters of commitment you guys will be soliciting from MCFD and Interior Health and FNHA and all of those fine people.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
That's all from us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Fort St. James.
Hello, we have no questions at this point, but thank you for asking.
Okay, great. Is there a lot of snow up there?
We are in the middle of a snowstorm and the temperature is dropping right now too. So.
Okay, well, take care of yourselves then.
Thank you.
Okay, Fort St. John.
I don't think we have any questions at this time, but our partners at the hospital might.
Yeah, the only question that I have is there a limit on the number of participants per Foundry application on March 2nd and 3rd to Vancouver session?
Yes, that's a great question. So there will be a maximum of two. We're hoping for two representatives from each community. I think we kind of got cut off on the next step slide, so I'll just say here, my colleague Sarah Lally, who's just at the back of the room here, will be following up with all of you for a couple of things. One will be to schedule the interviews. The other will be to coordinate the accommodation for the in-person convening on March 2nd and 3rd. So stay tuned for a communication from her in short order around those two items. And there's details in the convening information package that was sent to you that outlines how to book your travel and sort of the maximum cost that we will be able to reimburse you for your flight and for any travel to and from the airport. So please have a look through. If you have any questions about the information that's provided in the package, send them through. But Sarah will be in touch with you about the booking of the interview and your accommodations. But yes, two from each community.
Okay, questions from Hope. Okay, Kamloops.
Hi there. Yeah, actually a couple of our questions have been answered, so that's great. But I just have one more question around the rural and remote. How are you deciding? Because I know you've said that there's two that will be rural and remote. Is it based on population or distance from a major center?
We're really basing it off of population at this time and recognizing that there's, I've heard 13 different definitions for rural in British Columbia. And so our cutoff has been 10,000, although we may see ourselves get to, depending on really the way the communities are set up. So and how the community has defined itself. And so we'll be communicating with you in terms of letting you know sort of what we're having and what we have in mind in terms of those folks that are really in that $10,000 to $15,000 person range. But that's really sort of the cutoff that we've been using.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Langley.
So the question from Langley just in the chat is, along with the virtual clinic, has a foundry site ever had a mobile unit as a spoke of the primary foundry site?
Great question. And thank you, Encompass, for that. So the question, have we ever had a mobile unit as a spoke of the primary foundry site? And we are certainly in the process of developing that. So we're developing that in Kelowna. And I understand that we may be developing that on the island as well. And so there has certainly been the concept of a mobile unit. Certainly a lot of our centers have outreach spaces or in-reach spaces at schools. And so that has happened. But we also know that some of our centers may need to serve smaller, more remote communities. And that is something that certainly aligns with what we do. Thanks for that question, Langley. Okanagan North, Vernon.
Hi there. Just another clarifying question on the the health authority commitment letter. Does that also include if they're providing services within the foundry as a partner? So potentially, we have potentially a youth, a substance use worker from our health authority who would be located within the Foundry Center. So would that be something that needs to be outlined in a partnership letter, or does that come in within the commitment letter from the health authority that you would solicit?
That would be in the commitment letter from the health authority, but it would be included obviously in the budgeting sections that you have.
Okay, great. And I was curious who would be on the, who was doing the interviews during the interviews with the ED and the board chair, who all is from this fine group in front of me and will be part of it.
So we have four panel members on the interview. We'll have one representative from Foundry Central Office. It'll be one of our the directors on our team here. We'll also have a representative from our network leadership. So this will be a leader from one of the eight Foundry Centers that are currently up and open. And then we're having a representative from our youth, our provincial youth advisory council, as well as our family advisory council. So we'll have a youth and a family member on the panel too.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. North Surrey.
Hi, we don't have any questions at the moment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Port Hardy.
Hi there. Thank you for the information today and the packages. We're going to compile our questions and get them to you on the 14th. So thank you very much.
Oh boy, that sounds like a lot of questions.
Don't we all have them?
I'll just say that there will be, so we do have a process set up for you to submit your questions in advance of next Tuesday. So on the web portal that we've emailed to you, that link, there will be a form similar to the way that we manage questions during the EOI phase. There'll be a SurveyMonkey form for you to submit your questions in advance. That form will go live as soon as this call is over. And so we'd like to get as many questions as possible ahead of time so that we have, you know, we're a bit more organized in the way that we respond to your questions. Of course, there'll be an opportunity to ask additional follow-up questions during the call next Tuesday, but please do use the form to submit your questions for next Tuesday.
Great, thanks. It sounds like a great mechanism.
Okay.
Well, we will soon find out. Okay, Powell River.
Hi there, it's Heather Gordon here. I have about five questions. I'm just trying to decide whether they should I should type them into the form or ask them now.
You know, if you've got them, then you might as well throw them out.
Okay. So I'm interested in understanding the longevity of the operational funding. So when you're looking at space, you know, we sort of have a space that the landlord is interested to know what's the likelihood of the continued funding. Any comments on that? Or
yeah, it's annualized funding.
Annualized, okay. Okay. So
just to clarify that, sorry, a lot of our centers are signing 5+5 leases.
Okay, good. That's good. Okay. And what, if you could comment on the legal relationship or the liability relationship between co-located partners at a foundry, like how does that work?
How about we get back to you on that one? Okay. I think it's a good question, but I think we could take up quite a bit but with an explanation on that one.
Okay. Also, if someone could comment on what peer support looks like at a typical foundry, how does that play out in the services?
So at the very beginning, to be quite frank, we didn't really have a standardized understanding of what peer support was. And some folks use terms like peer navigation. We worked with FamilySmart, which moved onto the peer in residence model. But when we were really looking at the accreditation standards for peer support, it started to become quite clear to us, really, that we needed to develop a curriculum specific for young people. And so we've done that. And so now we are finalizing the second version of our peer support curriculum that is offered then to peer support workers at our centers around the province so that they can be trained and properly supervised. And so the peer support model really is one that is increasingly consistent as we roll this model out.
Right, and so if, would a foundry be staffed with you know, a couple of peer support?
Correct, yes. So to your question, the foundry centers typically will be staffed with at least two peer support workers, often working off the waiting room. When we design our centers, we often have spaces for the peer support workers near the front of the house so that they're able to provide support to young people coming through the door. But they're also engaged and involved in a lot of other initiatives around the center.
Okay. Just a quick question now, looking at the next submission. Under revenue sources, so just talking about the lead agency's in-kind revenue sources, do all of so it talks about existing youth and family programming, for example. Do all of those program elements have to be located on site at the foundry site in order to be included as an in-kind support, or can they? So I'm wondering about the location of those supports.
Yeah, so those would be contributions to be on site, or for instance, if it's an outreach position at a school, one that would be linked back to the center.
Right. Okay, great. And finally, I didn't pay close enough attention to the discussion about the interview between the ED and the board with the ED and the board chair, and there were a few key areas that you were going to focus on. Is that available anywhere else, or can someone repeat that for me? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm happy to repeat it for you. So essentially, there were out of the EOI evaluation process, the independent panels that did the evaluation had some follow-up questions for you. So that will be one component of it. The other piece will be for us to better understand the lead agency's commitment to developing a foundry center in your community, and then also better understanding the practices around youth and family engagement.
Okay, super, thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Okay, thanks, Powell River. Squamish.
Hi there, it's Jay Russell from Sea to Sky Community Services. Just one question, similar to Heather, we have a site in mind for our foundry facility, and I'm wondering if there is any minimum requirements in square footage. You said at the top of the presentation that you had a varying range in square footage across centers around the province, and I'm wondering, since you have somewhat of a formula based on population, does that translate into a range or a minimum or maximum in terms of square footage?
Great question. I've got my capital project lead here, but I'm not going to let him talk. Because we probably need to answer this question today. So, you know, we have seen this model work in spaces as small as 4,200 or 4,500 square feet. We certainly think that the optimum is probably between 6,000 and 7,000, maybe a little bit bigger. But you know, I think that if you're doing much less than 4,000 or 4,500, you're probably going to outgrow your space very quickly.
For sure. Okay, great. And I suppose, similar to, the question around in kind, and whether or not it was great that you were able to, hone in on, the model that would have some outreach in community that would then be based out of the site. Do you have a minimum requirement around what level of FTE would have to be based out, or is that an outreach worker that would have a certain amount of hours out of the site? Do you have a formula for that as we start to look at building our operational budget?
There really isn't a formula for it. I think it's really just an understanding of what you're envisioning and what you would be bringing into the mix. Okay. We've really learned historically that having organizations that have a history of providing service in with youth is certainly the ideal service agency or organization. And so we're really trying to understand what organizations are bringing in to Foundry.
Great. Thank you so much. Looking forward to working with all of you. Great.
Thank you. Surrey Cloverdale, sources?
Hi there. I don't know if we lost Howard from the island. We're actually split among three places at the moment. So I'm in South Surrey right now.
My apologies. Howard's over on the island.
Are you there, Howard?
I am. I forgot to unmute, so I was talking away and nothing was happening. That's George,
by the
way.
I was ready to save you.
Did you guys have any questions?
George, you have a question. Start.
Go for it, Howard. Go.
All right. So I didn't get a chance to introduce George and Azadeh. George is with our counseling services. Azadeh is with our youth services before. So here they are. Lots of good questions. One simple question is, can we get a copy of the presentation?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we will email you the recording of both. Well, we'll send you the slide deck, but we'll also send you a recording of this presentation.
Okay, super. I love how visual it is, and we have partners who are, in spite of the fact that the Foundry was advertised during the Seahawks game, still don't know what Foundry is. So a nice visual like the presentation will be helpful to give. And I assume it's okay to provide people, other partners who want to know more, maybe the service model, overview. Would that be all right? Or
partners? Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, okay, I didn't see it on the website, so I just wanted to check. And one other question, there's been a lot of information lately, so I'm just perception checking a little bit. Is the Foundry looking to be involved in the tables that we lead in the convening stage?
Not during convening.
Okay.
It is something that we would be involved in moving forward in terms of governance in some of those tables. With 19 communities, it would be very difficult for us to do that.
Yeah, fair enough. I thought so. And one other question is that in the service model overview chapter, which came with the package for the convening phase, there's reference to five other sections. Does that make sense? Did I read something wrong? That there was an overview chapter and then there were other chapters? Is that
That's Karen's document.
Okay. So we'll get back to you on that one.
Okay. Yeah, not that I need more reading, but if it's out there, I'd like to read.
No problem. We'll look into that. We can certainly clarify that. Thanks, Howard.
Okay. And that's all for me.
Perfect.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, Howard, there are two types of people, those who saw that commercial during the Seahawks game and those who saw it during the Golden Globes.
Okay.
I'm glad you saw it during the Seahawks game.
I only saw it there. That's correct.
Okay. Sunshine Coast.
I do have I have a question, and we have other people from Sunshine Coast on the call who may also have questions, but I was just curious to hear a little bit more about how you're determining who the six will be. Like, what is the, what is it that, I mean, you have a number, like, is it community readiness? Is it about having a space? I'm just trying to get a sense of what is it that will push those six forward sooner than the remaining, I can't do my math, but, you know, the remaining 13, whatever they are.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good point. So, you know, lesson learned for us, Catherine, is that it's not the space. So I'll start with that. It really, you know, the expression of interest process has identified, you know, 19 communities that we feel are quite engaged and really wanting this model. So that's been clear from your expressions of interest. The convening is really to... It's a bit of a two-way street at this point, so we're kind of dating, and it's that idea that it needs to be a match for both of us. It needs to be something that your organization, and again, I think it goes back to Rebecca's comment, which is we're not just a funder, we're a partner, and so you will decide as an organization with your board, with your leaders, whether or not this is a relationship you want to enter for the next 5 to 10 years. And that is a shift for a lot of people. That is a shift for a lot of organizations. And it's not necessarily one that everyone wants. And so when we're involved with you, we're in your kitchen, so to speak. You maintain your organizational independence, absolutely. But we're pretty clear on what this model looks like. And so there's lots of room for community negotiations and looking at different models within the idea that we're still delivering these core services and we're still doing it in one place, potentially with some mobile support. But this isn't business as usual. And so this is a very unique relationship, and it has to be something that both parties are comfortable with.
Okay, great. That's great. That answers my question. I'm just wondering if there's anybody else on the Sunshine Coast who has a question?
No, we don't at this time.
Okay. With 5 minutes left, thank you very much, Sunshine Coast. I want to make sure that Tri-Cities and Williams Lake get a chance. Tri-Cities?
Hi. Thanks so much for the information today. We don't have any questions right now.
Okay, thank you. And Williams Lake?
Hi there. I just have a few questions for you here. The first one is, in terms of our community size, our community has less than 15,000 persons in it, but we service a regional area of over 30,000, between 30 and 60, depending on that number you take. What stream do we belong in? Is it strictly our community size?
You actually belong in the more urban full fidelity size.
The smaller one, then?
No, the larger one.
We belong in the larger one? Okay, perfect. This might not apply to us anymore now that you've answered that question, but in case anybody else didn't note it, in the section that's, I'm just going to quote it, it says, for communities with population under 15,000, Founder will provide one-time grant of up to $500,000 to support capital development of new centers and operational funding of up to $200,000 in the first year of establishment. And then later on, it says on page 7 that $500,000 is given to services and operational value of communities under 15,000 in size. And so the $200,000 that's referenced in the previous section in the chart is different than the one, the page 7 reference is different than the page 4 reference in terms of the $500,000. So what is the total dollar value?
Yeah.
For the smaller communities.
It's an escalator.
It's an escalator.
Okay. Sorry, maybe you can put yourself on mute. Great. So there is an escalator when the operational funding rolls out. And so it's 200,000 in the first year, and it gets bumped up to eventually 500,000 either in the second or the third year. Whereas in the full fidelity, it goes 200, 500, 700,000.
Oh, she's on mute.
And you're on mute still.
No. Thank you. No, that answers my question. Thank you so much. And then one last question, again, no longer perhaps relevant to me, but what is the fundraising commitment for communities in the 15,000 and under stream?
So it would be, Tracy, just wearing my philanthropy hat here, it would really be based on the vision for the center and what that's going to look like. So we would work with you to determine what the capital needs are and what a realistic fundraising goal would be based on that vision. So I'm hesitant to put a number to it just because it would be dependent on the vision.
Okay, so just to clarify then, the numbers in the chart that you guys have are kind of to give us a sense, but you know, if we can't come up with $250,000 ourselves, we're not necessarily out of the running. If we think that that's going to be a challenge, if you know our fundraising total is less, but we have more in kind, for instance, then there are ways. It's not just a dollar value issue. Is that correct?
So what I can say to clarify that is. We anticipate that every community would fundraise. That is a part of this model. The philanthropic engagement is critical to, we feel, the success of these centers. And so it may very well be that a smaller community has a very small target. And what we'd like to know, though, is what is your commitment to this? And what can we support? What can we bring to the table? And then obviously understand what that total budget is and if there's any gaps or deltas that will need to be covered off somehow. And so that's just something that we recognize that not everyone has a history of fundraising, but what we have found is that communities can be incredibly generous around this model and that when the Foundry Center is being announced, when it's being planned, designed, and built, is the best time for fundraising. Trying to do something a year, 2 years after the center is open is a lot more challenging than in the 6 months leading up. So if there's ever a time to fundraise around this, it is now, i.e. after convening and you've been identified as a community.
Thank you, that answers my question. And I have just one last around lease costs. Is a lease considered an operational expense, or does it get rolled into the capital value in terms of the funding? How does a lease work?
The lease works as an operational expense.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. I am aware of the time. We promised to be an hour and a half, and so I think we've gone over by about a minute or two. I'll just hand over to Rebecca in terms of just the next steps, and just to reiterate what you'd said, and then our Q&A next week.
Perfect. So stay tuned, watch your inboxes over the next couple of days. We'll be sending you the video recording of this presentation, the slide deck, and I'll resend the link to our web portal where you'll be able to access all of this as well. There will be a form on our web page where you can submit your questions for next Tuesday. And really, we're looking forward to next Tuesday, 3:00 Pacific time, where we'll be able to answer those questions. And that's it. Great. Mm-hmm.
We wish you all the best for 2020. We're really excited to work with you and obviously meet you in about 2 months from now. By all means, send us your questions, and we look forward to meeting you virtually in the next few weeks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, thank you.
Bye, thank you.